4th chapter and the 17th verse. The 54th chapter and verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Look at that word again. It says there, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say that weapons won't be formed against you. It doesn't say that weapons won't be used against you. But what it says is that no matter how many kinds of weapon the enemy tries to make against you or use against you, it shall not prosper against you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Against every child of God, everyone at one point of time or the other who has said, Jesus, I will serve you, let me tell you, you are on a battleground, and the enemy will make sure that the enemy forms weapons against you. And many a person, the minute they see something being formed against them, they get upset, they begin to panic, they begin to cry, they begin to go through those trembling times in their hearts, they begin to have anxiety attacks, they're confused, they're perplexed, they do not know what to do next. But my Bible says, even though the enemy should form weapon against you, and even if he should use against you, hallelujah, one thing you can take boldness in is the fact that God's word says, it shall not prosper against you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. See, when you look in the Bible, you will find right from Genesis to Revelation, the enemy forming one weapon or the other against children of God. In the Garden of Eden, the enemy comes and tries to deceive Eve, gets her to believe the deception that if you follow after God and if you obey God, you will miss out in life. You are going to miss out certain things in life. And that's a deception. And that's a weapon which the enemy used. It was a lie. It was deception which the enemy used against the child of God. But hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord, to usurp Adam from his authority. The enemy comes through Eve and comes against Adam, and both of them stumble and fall, obeying the enemy's plans. But what does Jesus do? What does the Lord do? He does not come and say, now guys, you've had it. You failed. Now there's nothing more I can do about you. No, no. That's not what the Lord says. The first and primary thing the Lord does for them is that God makes a way out of their trouble for them. He gives them the promise of redemption. And then He looks at the very enemy which had deceived Adam through Eve and says to the enemy in the book of Genesis chapter 3, what does it say? You shall, what does it say? Anybody knows the scripture? If you do not know, open it. Genesis chapter 3. The third chapter. And verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what the word of God is saying. How did the enemy come against Adam? The enemy came against Adam through the woman. And God is saying to the devil, the very channel that you use to destroy man will be the very channel that I use against you. The seed of the very woman shall destroy you. Amen. What do I say to you tonight? Let me tell you this. The very channel which the enemy has been using against you to destroy you will be the very thing which my God shall use for you against the enemy and destroy the works of the enemy over your lives. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If the enemy thinks he can destroy you with unholiness, you will be a channel through which you shall be an instrument of righteousness, through which you shall destroy the very works of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody dares to believe that tonight? Hallelujah. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Daniel chapter 3, you find there the three friends of Daniel are not worshipping the graven image. You know the story, don't you? And because they are not worshipping the graven image, what the enemy tries to do is make sure that they fall into the fire. Now look at this word, very important. The Lord did not keep the three friends who had worshipped the living God from going to the fire. Hear me well, please. The Lord didn't keep them from going to the fire. The Lord could have. The Lord didn't even keep them from falling into the fire. The Lord could have. But hallelujah. The good news is, my brother, he makes a way for you through the fire. He will make sure that you come through. He will make sure that you come through. He will make sure that you come through. Look at your neighbor and say, I will come through in the name of Jesus. I will come through in the name of Jesus. I will come through in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The fire did not prosper against them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad? Over the years, I can see from some of your faces you have taken severe beatings from the enemy. But aren't you glad that none of the devices has prospered against you? You are still here tonight. You're still worshiping the Lord. You still are walking in the grace of God. The mercy of God is still reaching out to you. The hand of the Lord is still keeping you up. You're still alive. And God is still interested in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The other day I was sitting and I was looking at this word and I said, Lord, my God, what, you know, in 1 John 5, this is a word that God is saying. He's saying, what is it that overcomes the world? Even so, your faith. Amen. Amen. Even so, your faith. Now, when you look at that scripture, 1 John chapter 5, just look at it. The first letter of John, the 5th chapter. And 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our. Certain verse uses the word your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes in Jesus, the Son of God. This scripture is not for a pastor. It is not for a spiritual strong man. This is for any and everyone who has been born again. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Amen. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Overcomers are not a select few, as you would think they are. Are you with me? Four times in the scripture, the word is used to overcome the enemy, the devil. Seven times it is used to overcome the world, which the enemy uses. And three times in the letter of John itself, it is used to overcome the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In other words, God thought of everything that the enemy could try to do against you, and He says, I have given you something very simple. It is your faith. If you have faith tonight, if you believe tonight, if you say, I trust in the promise of God, I believe in Jesus forever. Hallelujah. You are on the overcoming side. Hallelujah. No matter what the enemy tries to use against you, you have to say boldly, I won't run away. I won't flee away. I won't say the heat is too much, the pressure is too much, and try to hide. I will say, I'm going to overcome. I'm going to stand because the Lord has given me His faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is so simple. See, God gave you faith to overcome. When you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, tonight are you sitting here and saying, listen, looks like the enemy has put a wall in front of me. How would you overcome that? Hebrews 11 says, by faith. The enemy has brought a sea in front of me. I can't cross over. How would you overcome that? So simple. I'm born of God. My faith. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Midianites are oppressing me on every side. I feel kind of oppressed. I feel kind of crushed. I feel the life has gone out of me. How would you overcome? My faith. Hallelujah. The enemy is using weapons against me. The armies are coming from every side. I do not know what to do. How do I overcome? I am born of God. My faith. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't you ever see what happens to most people is that when they come in for a church service, they want to feel good. Feel good. There's nothing wrong with it. They want to just feel good. Rejoice in the Lord for some time. And just to have an assurance in their hearts that the Lord is there for them. And they just want to go through the week, and hopefully they would want the Lord to come and just take them in between before they ever fall down again. That's all. But God says that's not the way it's going to be. Are you with me? The enemy will use weapons against you. He will form them against you. Different kind of weapons. All through the days of the week, he will try different things. He will again sometimes hit you. You might feel a little bruised. You might feel a little broken. But you shall not allow the enemy to prosper against you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What happens to most people? They get up a Sunday service or a weekend service and they go through the week, and the first day morning or Monday morning, they experience some turmoil or temptation or trial in their life that is enough to get them depressed and down and say, oh my God, what do I do? But God says, no. Are you with me? Tonight, do you dare to believe the word of the Lord? Do you dare to believe the word of the Lord tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of you ever experienced the wrath of the enemy against you? You felt so broken, so down because the enemy has tried everything against you. Let me tell you, you are an overcomer. God has got confidence in you. He says, I have begotten you by my spirit. And I know that I put faith inside of you, and you can overcome all that the enemy tries against you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. No weapon. Glory be to God. That's formed against you shall prosper. And you, not somebody else, not your descendants. You, yourself, will see the victory with your eyes. You shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. See, if it is faith that overcomes the world or gives you victory, then what is important is that you guard your faith. And one of the things that gets your faith down is what is called a slave mentality. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt and wanting to go into the promised land, God said, I've set the land apart for you. You can go in and take the land. 12 tribes, one person each from the tribe, they witnessed the land and come back. 10 of them, even though they were set free from Egypt, they still had the mindset of Egypt. They still felt like slaves. They thought like slaves. Can you imagine that? But 2 of them didn't think like slaves. Hallelujah. They face the same struggles, the same problem, the same giants, the same land, the same situations. But they said, no. We're not going to have a slave mentality. You know why? Because they knew what it was to magnify the Lord above everything else. You keep your faith alive by magnifying the Lord continuously. Have you seen this? Every time before I come in for worship, I take a song. Before I start a message. And 99% of the time, the song that the Spirit of God makes me to take is Be Magnified. Be magnified, Lord. There are so many problems. It was easy to be a pastor some time back. All that you had to do was to learn how to preach. All that you needed to know was some scriptures. But if you need to serve the Lord, you need to know a lot of other things. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, one thing that I've learned is to make sure that whatever happens to magnify the Lord, to magnify the Lord, to make the Lord bigger than anything else. Amen. You're still here tonight? You're still here tonight? Faith alive? By making sure that your eye is fixed on Jesus. Are you with me? Your eye is not fixed on a man, not in a congregation, not on a church, not in a structure, not in people, not even on a pastor or a teacher or a great man of God. Your eye is fixed on the Lord. Your eye is fixed on the Lord. Let me tell you something very simple if you're ever going to serve the Lord. See, I was, open with me to Psalm 100. And verses 1-4. You know that scripture, don't we? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Second verse, say that together. Serve the Lord with. Come before His presence with. Serve the Lord with. Come before His presence with. Serve the Lord with. come before his presence with? Now get back to Isaiah 54:17. What does it say there? It says, no weapon that's fashioned against you shall prosper. You shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. And then the next line, what does it go on to say? This heritage have the servants of the Lord. Not everyone. I didn't say everyone had this heritage. The word of God says this heritage have the servants of the Lord. In other words, what the Lord is saying, are you still with a heart that will say, I will serve you, Jesus. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you, Lord. Then God is saying, I will fight your battles for you. Amen. Amen. Have you any time wondered why the enemy does not want you to come for a meeting, hear the word of God, or worship the Lord and spend in truth, or ever have a desire to serve the Lord? You know why? Because if you should serve the Lord, even the little capability that you have, with the little grace that you have, with the little ability that you have, let me tell you, you will find that you're always on the victorious side, because no matter how many kinds of weapon the enemy tries to use against you, they shall not prosper against you. Come on. Come on. And it says in the Psalms 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with. Serve the Lord with. Serve the Lord with. You know why? Because that's the way that the presence of God begins to manifest for you. If you have looked at anyone, any time, who have ever moved in a miracle ministry, or a ministry which has seen great signs, wonders, and miracles, or anyone who has ever ministered and seen the presence of God intensify every time they minister, you will find something common about them. You know what is common about them? It's the fact that they will always be describing the Lord's goodness ahead of their troubles. You will never find the glory of God following any servant of God who is always complaining and grumbling and murmuring and angry and frustrated and saying, you will never find the glory of God following someone. They might be serving the Lord, but let me tell you, the glory will not be manifested through them. You won't feel any presence in the atmosphere where they worship the Lord or where they preach. But some servants of the Lord, the minute they begin to move into the pulpit and take the mic and they start a song or a scripture, you will find the presence of God coming down. Why? Because you will find something common is the fact they're always glorifying the Lord's goodness ahead of their troubles. What am I trying to tell you? You need to serve the Lord with gladness. You need to come before His presence with singing. You need to say, Lord, I want to worship You. I'm going to speak about Your goodness. Not I don't have troubles, but let me speak a few words about Your goodness first. Come on. Come on. Come on. It is said that, what determines your attitude is the atmosphere that is around you. Hear me well, please. What determines your attitude is the atmosphere around you. So if you look at a person with a, with the right kind of attitude, a godly attitude, you will find that he is always keeping around him an atmosphere. And that's through worship. Are you with me? If you go into his house, you will find that there are scriptural songs playing. Scriptures being read out. Worship atmosphere is in the room. Are you with me? If you get in the sky, you will find scriptural songs. If you walk anywhere, you will find there is an atmosphere that is kept. See, you go into certain rooms, you feel demonic presence. The other day I went to somewhere, oh my God. I went somewhere. I went somewhere. And such an oppression. Then you walk into the church. You go to a gathering, you know, sometimes there might be good talks, there might be good messages, there might be good things happening there, good people, but the presence of God won't be there. The atmosphere won't have the presence of God. Hear that? How many of you understand what I'm saying? See, the atmosphere that you create will determine your attitude. When I come into a congregation, when I come into this congregation, even weeks when I'm not here, some of them know I make at least 5 calls here. And I tell some of the key people in the ministry, just let me know, just keep your mobile phone on to somewhere here. Let me sense the atmosphere. Let me know how much your presence is there. Because the atmosphere, the anointing, the presence of God has to be there. That's the atmosphere. Are you with me? The presence of God, the glory of God. And when that anointing is there, it's easy. Come on, church. Psalms 97, verse 5. I shared that, but one more time. Psalms 97, verse 5. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. See, what happens to you is that if you try to handle the mountain in your life without the presence of God, you will find that you get frustrated. But if that atmosphere, that glory of God, the presence is there, that is why if you're going to pray and if you're going to tell your problems in the beginning and let your problems be said all the time, speak about all the troubles that you have all the time, you will find that it is getting gloomier and gloomier and gloomier. It's becoming oppression on oppression on oppression. If you have these words like, I feel so much bondage, I think I'm in bondage, I think I'm a slave, I think I'm oppressed, I think the enemy is after me, I think the devil has got me. If you have all kind of that kind of thoughts and that kind of whispering in your mind and in your words, you will find the oppression around you will intensify. But the minute you stand and say, praise the Lord, His goodness forever, hallelujah, He's good forever, hallelujah, glory to God in the highest, hallelujah, when you begin to worship Him, when you begin to give Him glory, when you begin to thank His name and rejoice in Him, you will find that there's a release around you. The presence of God will be changing things around you. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You go in a company and that person is sitting there and speaking everything against the word of God, everything against the Lordship of Jesus, everything against the gospel. You don't sit with those guys for a long time. Are you with me? See, the atmosphere around you determines the attitude. And if you got to see the glory of God, and if you see, it's when that atmosphere is thick. Have you felt times when the anointing is so thick? Maybe you're a man of God, or maybe in a service, the atmosphere is altered. The presence of God is altered. The worship is intense. People are worshiping. The presence is thick. Immediately within your heart comes a craving. I want to serve the Lord. Oh boy, I want to serve the Lord. I want to minister like that. I want to serve the Lord. Anybody here? What happened to that attitude? You might have come with brokenness, but the minute you saw the atmosphere, are you with me? The minute you saw the atmosphere, the presence of God, you said, and this is what I want. This is what I miss. This is what I miss. This is what I need. I need to get back. Church, please. So when you go back, see, if you're going to stick in front of the TV all the time and see the presence of God coming in, it won't. Are you with me? If you're going to read crap all the time and think that God's glory will surely go, you're going to serve the Lord. You say, I'm going to submit to you, Lord. And I want to see, you know, read all biographies of great men of God, read the Bible, read the Word of God. Get yourself, when I sit in my room and the presence changes, I know. As a matter of fact, sometime back, when the presence of God is intense, you actually feel the Lord so close to you. Otherwise, you feel as if there's a devil around you. It might not be your mother-in-law. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Any kind of bondage melts away at the presence of the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against you shall prosper. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Are you with me? Amen. Now one more thing, please. The atmosphere determines thee. But let me tell you one thing. You could go into a place where you feel the atmosphere is godly, anointed. But you could miss the whole thing if the atmosphere in your heart is cold. Sometimes, you know, sense such a presence of the Lord in our meetings, and I look at people, and sometimes they're sitting back in some corner and, you know, just trying to stay awake. And you maybe, it's got nothing to do with the anointing in the congregation, it's got to do with them. Their hearts is not open. In the scripture, it speaks about three kinds of atmospheres of the heart. In Matthew 24, it speaks about the heart that is cold. Are you with me? In Luke 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus spoke with the Lord for some time and then said, was not our hearts burning? Was not the room burning? Ooh, what a presence. No. Was not our hearts burning? Come on. Amen. And three atmospheres in the Revelation's third chapter, which says a lukewarm heart. It's kind of lukewarm. Are you with me? It's kind of lukewarm. There is only one remedy for that. Don't get troubled. Admit to the Lord you're lukewarm. Or admit to the Lord you are cold. He will forgive you. And the simple thing to do to get out of lukewarmness is simple. So simple. You know what it is? Revelation 3 itself gives you the answer. It says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If you open your heart, I will come in and sup with you. So only a supper with the Lord will charge your heart once again. Come on, church. I'm giving you simple keys. I don't know why the Lord is making me, you know, give simple things tonight. But I believe that's what we need. Hallelujah. The only way, hear me again. If you're feeling cold, you came here, you felt the presence of God, you feel good. You know the Lord is here. You know that. But you are unable to experience anything. You feel kind of cold. Simple thing. Say, Lord, I open my heart once again to you. Come into my heart and sup with me. Eat with me. I want to feast at your table. Once again, I want to be hungry for your word. I want to see the richness of your grace and mercy in my life. I'm opening my heart to you. And the atmosphere changes inside of you. Nobody has to tell you, but you know, Christ is the hope of glory inside of you. Christ, the hope of glory is inside of you. I close with a prayer. Before I pray, for one final scripture. You know what it is? How many of you want to see the fire of God back in your heart? Amen? See, you have to understand one thing. In the book of Isaiah, you will find the scripture saying, the 14th chapter, about the devil. The 15 to 19 verse, when you read it, you find God's word saying about the devil that the devil is an abominable branch. Abominable branch. I think in the Malayalam version, I think the word used is chullikambal. Chulli, that's what the devil is. And Hebrews 12, my Bible says that our God is an all-consuming fire. happens when the fire touches wood? The abominable brand, the truly come, has to burn away. What I'm saying is this, no matter what kind of bondage is there in your life, the minute your heart atmosphere changes and the fire of God once again begins to invade your soul, no matter what the enemy has done against you, it shall not prosper. Amen. You shall find the burning of the devil in your life and you shall see the glory of God manifested for you. You believe that tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand in the presence of the Lord tonight and say, Father, I open my heart to you. Let's stand in the presence of the Lord tonight. Look at your problem and say, Vishasindaka Munagarajitu Anangilu. He said, he's just a branch. Say that, come on. Whatever bondage the enemy has used against you, it might be the cords of sin, it might be unforgiveness, it might be bitterness, it might be rebellion, it might be whatever, it might be poverty, it might be anything. Whatever the enemy issues against you, it might be sickness, you look at that and say, it's just a branch, it's just a branch. Would it truly come by the Vishashani? I have God, the all-consuming fire, as my helper. He is the Lord of my life. Lift your hand and worship the living God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. Your name.